That's about a $10 million item, I believe, Mr. Berg. And
$11 million
for just the share. $11 million, so that's House File 1142. The expiration deletion that you see on line 6.17 was my House File bill that just allows then living and miscellaneous expenses to get any money that's left over at the end of the year that was scheduled to sunset. The Indian Scholarship is both Governor, and I believe Representative Haas had that bill, 3363. That goes through page 8. The Achieved Scholarship language is also Representative Haas' language, and that goes all the way through the effective date on page 10. Representative Bly's clarification on the TEACH program, I believe, is just that they can use some of the money for administrative purposes is on page 10. The language on page 11 through, I believe, I think it's the top of page 13, is the governor's language, and I think that was also Representative Haas' bill, dealing with private colleges, the regulations by the Office of Higher Education. And I think that keeps going through page 13. On page 14, members, is the language I had in last year's bill dealing with the Board of Trustees and four members being put on the board from different collective bargaining units that operate in the MNCU system. Representative Lynn Carlson's House File 3794 and the Power of U program is on page 15, along with Representative Haas' language dealing with bonding for the MNCU system, I believe, which was in, again, in House File 3363. Excuse me, that's the private, for the private Representative Haas that you had. Jumping over on page 18, then that all that language was there dealing with Representative Haas's bill that was, I think, the governor's bill.
Yep.
Page 18, it deals with the Nurses Loan Forgiveness Program that Representative Haas had, House File 3014, dealing with how many hours to get their credit. On page 19, again, is Representative Haas's Bill 3363 for the Veterans Programs and Governor's Language. Also, I think that's on page 20, is also the Governor adding more language to try to get more youth in this program. And on page 21, it's still dealing with the governor's language and Representative Haas' bill. And that goes all the way through the 23.6 on page 23. The appropriation there is for the Power of U for the 3.8 and the $200,000 appropriation is for House File 3885, which was Representative Norton's bill. The language on page 25 was to correct something in last year's bill that the university had a problem with on getting some of their on the performance, and the Department of Finance doesn't have a problem with this, so I don't see where there's any problem there. On page 27 is the guts of both the Carlson Power of U and the Norton bill. The pilot, that Norton bill runs through page 29 towards the end. I think the language on the Board of Trustees deals with my just a clarification on how to fill those positions when you put the four members from the bargaining collective bargaining units on the board. I think that was in last year's bill too, but I'm not sure.
I think it was.
Now we're into Article 2 on the economic development part of the bill. Members, We have the deed base cut on the top of page 31, which that $550,000 correlates to the same cut that everybody else is getting. The $400,000 is Representative Mahoney and the governor's bill. I think Representative Gunther had that in House File 3299 and Mahoney in 3782. I think it's similar, the same appropriation dollar amount. The $2 million for the initiative fund is Representative Gunther's bill, House File 3299. Also, Representative Moe had a bill on this last year, and I think Representative Olin had a bill, House File 3050, on this year, but it's the dollar amount that was in the governor and Representative Gunther's bill. The $200,000 for the Hennepin Carver Workforce Investment is Representative Slocum's bill, House File 3684. The $200,000 for Hired is Representative Hortman's bill, 3707. The cancellation is the governor's cancellation from the Job Skill Partnership account and those methamphetamine and foreign trade zone dollars. That comes to $2,758,000. The $8 million transfer is Representative Gunther's bill, 3299, and the governor's recommendation. The labor and industry reduction is the 4% everyone else is taking with their language on the municipal building permit. I don't know if that was their language, I think.
Yeah, that's the part of the
department. Right. The department that takes the hit. Also, my language is there that the commissioner must not reduce the funding for prevailing wage enforcement that we gave them last year and fill those positions when they become vacant. The special workers' comp, $14 million is from there on a one-time capture of what's a pretty good reserve there. The Bureau of Mediation is a reduction of 4% also. The Sports Boxing Commission is the $80,000 appropriation that Representative Gunther worked on with somebody, but I don't know who, Representative Mahoney and the governor's office. Because I've been getting some emails that other people don't know anything about it on the Boxing Commission, too. So. Okay, well, we'll have a discussion on that. The military reservist language is the governor's language. I think it's Detmer's language or Representative Gunther's language. Okay. Let's keep going here. That's for that's all dealing with veterans loan program for GIs coming back. That language also at the top of 35 is the governor's language for veterans coming home and where there's unemployment or they got to lay somebody off that they hired to replace them. We've got that money in there for that program that the governor had proposed. The language at the bottom of page 35 is also for the veterans program, and I think it's to qualify for a dislocated workers program. Mm-hmm. Members, I have to tell you, I think some of this language is in both the Veterans Affairs bill and our bill, so there will be either in ways and means or finance that if there's more, I mean, that this money's only going to be counted once, obviously. We didn't know who was going to carry it, and my roommate and I got in a little argument on the back of the house floor today, but he's bigger than me, so but I didn't back off, I have to tell you that. Yeah, I know, and getting bigger also, if I might add. But anyway.
Good to see you.
The section 10 at the bottom is the boxing language Representative Gunther had. Going through 36. 37 is Representative Gunther's language, that additional deletion, which I'm still not sure.
Just replaced by the language on page 36.
Okay. 38. Okay. So these are just the governor's proposals. And also the subdivision 2 language is Representative Haas, again, 3363, governor's language dealing with vets qualifying for unemployment insurance. That's what that language is on page 38 there. The language starting at the bottom of 38 and going through the effective date on 39 was my bill, 3722. That's that language that deals with if a person's on the bench at a, you know, and gets their holiday pay and that from a union and not an employer, how it qualifies them. And I think the language, the deletion on the 3920 is from Mr. Lee Nelson at Deed. And I also have the on line 39.9, the severance exemption that I had on last year's bill. Then I'm sure there might be some questions on. On page 40 is also language, that's that, some more union language that was in House File 3722 dealing with members, unemployment insurance. Let's see. The 4.6, the language on the bottom of the page is my bill 3722. Again, that was dealing with those three counties we talked about that had extremely high unemployment rates. And I believe the 4.6% on 4030 was a recommendation by Mr. Nelson at Deed. Am I correct on that? Okay, the language on page 41, again dealing with that same bill, is just so that benefits for extended unemployment won't be charged back to employers. So that was language, I think, from Deed. The eligibility conditions on 41 are again from House Bill 3722. My bill, let's see, on page, and that goes all the way through the effective date, I think, and the notice there that we talked about so that these people knew they were eligible. The Unemployment Insurance Worker Initiative is my issue from last year, members, that was actually came to light when the new system went online for a filing for unemployment insurance, and this is the language that provides for a live human being, which I had in last year's bill in each workforce center. One, it's the way that we use, structured it to to pay for it should not be a cost to the unemployment insurance system, Mr. Nelson. It won't be to the employers. So it won't be to the employers. I think it's a $4 million cost to the system, but the employers don't take the hit. Five, you think? Well, Gunther must have more information than me. Yes, I know that. We'll wait for that. Okay, the section 20 in the bill I deleted in my delete all amendments. Section 21 is a change in the higher education board that's been in statute for years but never funded for that we were going to try to do back in the Carlson administration with some taconite taxes. Same thing with that language through 44.26. Section 23 just emphasizes that public works, which has always been in statute for some of the taconite dollars that IRRRB will go to public, half of it will go to public works in this one fund. Section 24 eliminates a rebate program that the mining companies have been getting for about 15 years. Now that they're doing pretty well, their stocks and everything else are really going up, so I don't, we've all felt that they don't have a need for this program anymore. Section 25, I deleted in the amendment, so that's out. Section 26 gives 8 cents of the 30 cents that we just took away from the mining companies back to the mining companies in a program that sunsetted a few years back. Section 27 increases the current 2 cents into the higher education board per ton of packing taxes to a nickel. In last year's tax bill and in section 28, and then in this year's tax bill that passed, the non-controversial one, there was language that allowed the IRRB board to buy land because of the way that a lot of those timber companies then have been selling off their land and the mining companies and breaking it up. It's a concern of both the DNR and even environmental groups. And we put in here that we could sell the land. If we ever purchased land and wanted to sell it, we could sell it, but we had to put the money back into the Doug Johnson Trust Fund. So that's all that does there. Language on, let's see. Section 29 removes, in that program that I just told you, we put that 8 cents back in for the mining companies. There was a point we allowed them to buy moving equipment. We never intended it really to be used, so we're just eliminating that. Representative Mahoney is going to delete Section 30 later on, I believe. Representative Gunther's language in Section 31 deals again with the, and all the way through page 50. Yeah, page 59 to the effective date is the Boxing Commission. Section 48 is Representative Moe's bill dealing with communities being able to use the public finance agency's bonding authority. I believe that runs through page. I think he might have more language than you, Representative Gunther, on that. And that runs through page 71. Section 22 is Representative Taylor's bill, House File 3966. That is a forgiveness for 1 year, and this biennium, of the payback for the Red Lake businesses that was in statute several years ago, I think 10 years ago. And that all of that coming up language deals with that. On page 74, I think that's Representative Mahoney's language, that Minnesota technology dollars don't cancel but stay in that account there on line 74.24 and 25. On line page 80, line 80.22 is cancellation of the Minnesota Investment Fund going to the general fund to help balance the budget. $1 million on the bottom of the page is for the biomass program that we discussed in this committee and a bill I had that I think we put some language in the bonding bill. The language on the bottom of page 81 deals with Representative Briner's bill. The extended employment money is not canceled, that it can't be canceled. That goes up to the top of page 82. And there's the language for that biomass program on page 88. The section 57 deals with some of the testimony we had about people who lost their driver's licenses and their credit rating because of the computer snafu, for lack of a better word. Yes, at the end of the year and into January and February. It documents that, you know, if they can prove their what it cost them, that the deed is going to reimburse them. Section 58 deals with the Ainsworth extension. Section 59 is both Mahoney and Governor's language dealing with the Office of Science and Technology. I think it's a blend of both. Section 60 is Representative Clark's language dealing with I think, some type of payback by biotechnology companies that get state money in making their products more affordable. And Section 61 are a couple of projects, one-time appropriations at IRRRB for Tibby, Aiken, Grand Rapids, and Crosby Ironton. The repealer is the repealer on 62 is the Boxley Commission.
It's simulcast.
Oh, simulcast, okay. And members, and then there's the other repealer deals with federal language for independent living appropriations. That didn't work out. And that's the bill. I hit a couple of the, if we just on the delete all, the A4, excuse me, on the A4 amendments to the delete all, we discussed the Office of the Chancellor and the chargeback. Mr. Lechtonen that was in here talking about his project for reclaiming old natural ore tailings basins, mostly which are on state land and will pay state royalties, is language there on the 21st century money. And Representative Solberg asked for the language in Subdivision 2A down at the bottom of the page, clarifying that 21st century money that was in last year's bill can also go to a county or a regional rail authority, because that's what it was intended for. And I don't know if the language on 212 through 216 just corrects those four or five projects I mentioned, the Saconite tax money. And then I deleted those sections on page 43 and 46 there. So, members, that's the bill, and if there's any questions about the money aspect of it or the spreadsheet, Mr. Berg is ready to answer any questions you may have. Other than that, members, if members have any questions, let's have them now, or we'll start taking amendments. Representative Haas.
I just have one short question on the Boxing Association. Does that have tails? Is this $80,000? But it does have tails going on in the future?
Yes. Okay. Amendments then, I guess. Let's start with the amendments that were in your packet already. Let's start with the DE1 amendment, House 1780 DE1, Representative Haas.
Is that the college bonding?
No.
Private data. Thank you.
This must be the Marquardt bill.
Yeah, thank you very much. It is the Marquardt bill. And if you remember, we passed that bill out of this committee, and we thought if it had trouble traveling on its own, that it probably should be amended to our omnibus bill here, and so that's what this amendment does. And it is a good compromise. If you recall, the students and everybody was pretty happy with the student. When the student signs the slip, the parent will be notified. If the student didn't sign the slip, they would not be notified. Any questions?
Representative Haas, do you mind if we have a H3722A3 amendment that's basically the exact same, but it's drafted a little better to the bill? Do you mind?
Yeah, that's why I was having trouble locating it. Whichever one is the best, that's the one I want to amend.
Members have the A3 in their packet? Let's use that one instead. So Representative Haas then moves the A3 amendment. And my only concern with this whole thing would be if any other Judiciary Committee or anything wanted to see it. Representative Mooney, did you talk to
Mr. Chair and committee members, I've talked to the Chair of the Civil Representative Mulley, and he has made some recommendations. I'm going to follow up on it, and if we can't come to conclusions on those, we've got another committee stop tomorrow or Thursday or Friday, and we may have to pull it out. But at this particular time, he said put it in, and we'll see if we can make it work.
Okay. Any problems with that, members? Then you've heard the motion on the A3 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Next amendment. The A1 amendment. Representative Welty moves the A1 amendment. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the 3722 A1 amendment. This amendment was brought forward to me by Representative Swale. She is currently carrying this as legislation, and hopefully it'll be included in the E12 policy bill or another education bill, but we also wanted to include in the higher education bill because it does make sense. Currently, we have the P16 partnership. I'm sure many of you are aware of or have heard of the P16 partnership, which includes individuals in education from the pre-K programs all the way through higher education. And currently, this group meets and they discuss education policy, but there are no legislators at the table with these discussions. And so this issue was taken up. I actually attended one of the meetings where President Brunix and some other members addressed the legislators who were interested in discussing this issue, and we brought forward that we would like legislators to be a part of the discussion and members of the P16. So this creates the P20, and Representative Swales actually incorporated some of my suggestions, which were to appoint one member of the majority party and one member of the minority party from each of the House and Senate so that it's not partisan in nature. We try to keep this real bipartisan. And so we're appointing four members to the P16 group. There are four legislators. And with that, I offer the A1 amendment.
Any questions? Not all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Representative Haas. The A2 amendment for college bonding.
Thank you, Haas. Thank you very much. This was a request made by the Minnesota State College Student Association, and it was agreed upon by Minscu, and they would like to expand the bonding authority from universities to include colleges, and that is expanding the rule, not the amount of money available within their system, so that they would be able to act for the colleges in the same way as they do for the universities and the bonding for the construction legislation acquiring. This is not our dollars, but dollars within their system.
Mr. Berg, just a real quick comment on what actually is going on here.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, Representative Haas is correct. State colleges and universities currently have $150 million worth of revenue bonding capacity in statute. This does not change the amount of the bonding, but the statutory authority is only for the universities to use it. This extends it to the colleges at Minscu, the same amount. Now, I believe the bonding committee is looking, Minscu had a proposal to increase the aggregate bond cap. The bond conference committee is talking about that issue. Just as extensive to all the Minscu institutions.
And so it has no effect on that 3% cap
no.
or anything because it's revenue bonds?
Mr. Chair, these are revenue bonds paid for by student unions, dormitories, things like that.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Berg. And so these are revenue bonds that are paid by the 3% cap that we have on our state bonding?
No, they're not.
Mr. Chairman, no. They're paid for by revenues from the facilities that they built, dormitories, student unions, bookstores on college campuses. Strictly those student revenues pay for the bonds.
It doesn't. I asked the same question, Dan. It doesn't affect that 3% at all. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Mahoney. Representative Mahoney offers the A6 amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, this is requesting, last year in the bill we put $8 million for the U of M Mayo Foundation Partnership. This asked from those two entities to come back and to actually report to my committee the Bioscience and Emerging Technologies, the number of patent disclosures, which are basically the first step to a patent and licensing agreement, the amounts generated in royalties, how the royalty money is spent and the number of companies created and where they are located, how many jobs are created, and the amount of venture capital raised. And in essence, what we're trying to do is get a baseline so we can see if they are actually getting, we're getting a return on our dollar investment.
Questions on the amendment? Not all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted.
I thought there was a name.
Representative Nornis has that small hand. Yeah. The Nornis Amendment? We'll delay the Nornis Amendment then. Just Representative Nornis, they had to add a line to it. But do you want to explain it while it's being?
I can wait, or I can do it now if you'd like.
Go ahead. It's the 8th Amendment.
8th.
Why don't you explain it while it's being recopied?
This was brought to me by another House member, Representative Larry Howes, and it's one of his constituents that's affected by this amendment. Evidently, it has to do with when he filed for his benefits, and you may know more about it than I do, Mr. Chair.
I know a little bit about it because he talked to me, Representative Howes talked to me, too.
Right, so it's a technicality, I guess, that, again, impacts this one. One former employee worked for aircraft mechanics, or he was an aircraft mechanic working for Northwest Airlines.
And it only applies to one person
individual.
That's drafted, I believe. We'll, Ms. Newman, do you want to tell us what we're waiting on here?
Mr. Chair and members, this particular individual actually did file a benefit account in September 2006. So we're just adding a line to say that any benefits that he collected under that benefit account are deducted from the total so that essentially he doesn't get the benefit to double dip.
Can we incorporate that into the amendment?
If you'd like, I can read what the written amendment is.
Why don't you read what the amendment is, and we'll incorporate that as a friendly and you'll just incorporate it in your amendment then, right?
I certainly will, yes.
Mr. Chair and members, after line 17, we're going to add a sentence that says, any unemployment benefits paid under the account established September 10th, 2006 shall be deducted from the total benefits authorized under this section.
Okay, so it's not a double payment.
Correct.
Okay, you're incorporating that in, so we have then the 810 amendment as with the item number 5 added. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted.
I'm not sure. I don't have to vote on the.
Okay, we'll get these out here. If the pages want to come, we'll do the A19 amendments. Who might have that?
That's fine, Mr. Chair. I do not have that.
To the office. Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a provision that was put in. I'm not sure in terms of the actual amendment itself. I was looking for Section 9, deleting of Section 9. Okay, so the delete all, this is incorporated in the delete all. All right. Under this provision, the transfer from Department of Veteran Affairs states the Commissioner of Veteran Affairs shall transfer funds as requested by the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development to reimburse workforce development funds for costs incurred under 116L17. Members, I sat on the Veterans Long-Term Commission, Long-Term Care Commission this last summer, and as the Minnesota Veterans Board went through some machinations, I'll say, last year when we had some issues with care that was taking place in the Minneapolis facility, we realized that we needed to reorganize that organization.
As we did that, one of the proposals that was put forth...
Representative Stevenson, can I just interrupt you for a second? I think what you're... I think you want to go to page 35 and look at section 9.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Right. So this is not... What you're deleting is...
this would be page 35, section 9 is the one I was looking at.
Right.
Yeah, and I would make that...
Do you have another amendment? Is this another amendment?
That's the only one.
Okay, so let me just change it to page 35, delete section 9, huh?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
And is that okay, Ms. Novak or Ms. Newman, as far as renumber everything and it's all the same? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
And Mr. Chair, members, and as the discussion unfolded on that, the problem with putting the Department of Veteran Affairs adding in the Minnesota Veterans Home became apparent that that's the way we wanted to reorganize this thing. One of my concerns that I voiced on the committee at the time was, once we do that, you have one entity now that is vying for a budget in this legislative body. And so when the cutting comes, which is happening right now, when they take a look at the entire budget for the veterans, the Department of Veteran Affairs makes up eight-tenths of 1% of the budget. When we start making cuts on that eight-tenths of 1%, we are not just taking cuts out of the veterans' home, but we're taking care of cuts out of all of the performance-based, whether it's education, reintegration, all of the other things the Department of Veteran Affairs does for our veterans once they've gotten out of military service. We begin to take those piece by piece away from the veterans, Department of Veteran Affairs. We're also taking money away from the veterans' long-term care initiative. So what this provision basically does is it says when we have a veteran who has been released from the military service and they're taking unemployment through that provision, that now, instead of coming through the Department of Economic Development or through a dislocated worker, this is coming through Department of Veteran Affairs. So we begin to do exactly what my fear was in this process, and that is begin to nitpick at the Department of Veteran Affairs budget. And it's no longer just Department of Veteran Affairs, it's also our veterans' home. So I'll tell you, when this came forward, I said, you know what, I understand what we're doing here, it seems logical, but this is one of the hazards that we're going to undergo when we start doing this type of thing. That's why I'm bringing this amendment forward tonight, because I think we need to pay close attention to that. We're not just taking some money out of the Department of Veteran Affairs. We're taking money out of the Minneapolis nursing homes or a long-term care initiative as well.
Representative Stevenson, I don't believe that this is doing what you said, and I'll try to be very frank about what's going on both in the transfer on page 35 and on page 34. And what I think, if you remove this language, you don't have a program right up above there on page 35 to fund the veterans who will qualify then for dislocated workers at D. And where this money's coming from is from the GI Bill from last year, which only $1 million of the was it 2-year appropriation?
1.5.
$12 million, only $1 million. Has been used. So what this language just says is that the Veterans Affairs will reimburse out of that GI Bill program, which is not being utilized like we thought, and pay for these soldiers in both this program and the, if you want to eliminate this, you might want to eliminate the transfer in Subdivision 3 on 34, which also is the same language, which pays for the economic injury program for the reservists and business loans for them coming back from overseas. So I don't think you're interpreting it right, and I think it's a good use of the money, and it's only reimbursed up to the actual dollars that are being requested. These are both programs that were in the Governor's Seat Initiative, and it was a logical way to pay for them. It doesn't have anything to do with taking any base appropriation from Veterans Affairs or the Veterans Homes or anything else. It's that only $1 million got used out of that $6 million the first year of that GI Bill, and I think that might even be over a year, that $1 million. Mr. Berg, help me out here. was it a year in?
Mr. Chair, we're in the first year now, but they're at the rate they're spending it, they're unlikely to use anything like the $6 million.
So that's what it does. So I don't think you really want to do this, because knowing how you support veterans, and these are both the governor's proposals, I don't think you want to do what you're proposing to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a question for Mr. Berg. So Mr. Berg, so what we're saying here is if there is a dislocated workers issue with a military veteran that has got off of active duty, is unemployed, but that money is coming through the Department of Veteran Affairs, which is administering the fund for the GI Bill. Is
right.
That correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Severson, that's correct. This program would specify that DEED would offer services to veterans, for two different types of services, and that the Veterans Affairs Department will reimburse the Department of Employee Economic Relations Development up to their cost out of the GI Bill money, which is currently not being utilized.
So we're, even though the governor had a request, I think, of $500,000 or $1.5 million? We're saying, we'll only, whatever is requested by veterans is what DEED gets. We're not going to give them the money just to sit there. We'll leave the money over in Veterans Affairs in the GI Bill program. Okay? So I think we did it the right way, and I think it's the way you'd appreciate.
Well, if that's the case, Mr. Chair, never mind.
Well, but Representative Stevenson withdraws the A-19 amendment then. Okay. What's the next amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Mm-hmm.
How about if I just delete that language that needs to be deleted on the verbal amendment?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members, on page 49, section 30, there was a miscommunication from the Iron Range to the city and from the city back up to the Iron Range. The attempt to fix that miscommunication is since exempt all iron ore mines or steel or at a steel taconite or iron ore plant in Minnesota from all high pressure code enforcement.
It was my screw up and you should take it out.
And
okay.
I should take
all
it out.
All in favor.
All those in favor.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No. Okay, we have the A-14 amendment coming around. Someone drafted that Section 58 Lumber Company Extra Benefits. Whose amendment is that?
I believe that's mine.
Representative Gunther moves the A-14 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this basically does one thing. It gives Ainsworth at Cook 13 weeks. Like the other Ainsworth plants, and the training requirement still stays in, like other Ainsworth plants. And this is basically what the governor wanted last session, and I think it's very appropriate to treat these laid-off workers the way their brother workers were in the other two Ainsworth plants, and that's the reason for the amendment.
Mr. Nelson, or did I see Mr. Nelson? Mr. Nelson, you just come up. So all the other language in here is for what purpose? Or is it just repetitive of what already is in the bill? Mr. Nelson.
Chair, members of the committee, this amendment is the language from last year, which passed last year for the Ainsworth extension, uses exactly the same words. The only thing that was really changed was the date. It was changed from December 30, 07 to 08 here, and it deleted Grand Rapids and Bemidji plant. Otherwise, it's the exact same language from what passed last year for the Ainsworth workers.
Okay, it's not my bill. It's Representative Bill's bill, and he had asked for 26 weeks, I believe.
That's correct, and the other two plants got 13. Okay.
Well, I wish Representative Dill were here. I think when he talked about his reasons for asking for 26 weeks, it was because of the isolated nature of it there. But,
Mr. Chairman, when you look at the other two plants, it's only fair to them that we treat this one the same.
Okay, We've got the amendment in front of us. I'm going to just at this time oppose the amendment merely because I want to talk to Representative Dill about it. I don't want to surprise him, but we can look at this as we go through finance. Representative Dunster.
Mr. Chairman, if Representative Dill, who's a very close friend of mine, has a big objection to it, I'd like to know what it is, and we could probably look at another committee to maybe change it back the way he'd like. I'm certainly open-minded about it, but I still think in a guise of fairness, this should be treated like the other two plants were.
Well, I'll tell you what, Representative Gunter, I guess I'll go along with you and hope that Representative Dill doesn't sit on me. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And if he does, you're going to stick up for me, right? Cover me?
Every minute of the
week. Well, he'll already be covering
I'll
me.
I'll be way behind.
So. We have you covered. Okay.
So to speak.
I'll bring my brother Tom. He's as big as Dill is.
The A9 amendment. Delete page 42, delete section 19.
Mr. Chairman,
whose amendment is that?
It's mine. Mr. Chairman, well, you and I both agree that Deed did, in fact, do a few things wrong with unemployment insurance by not having people at the workforce centers be able to talk about it. We basically have that accomplished, and Deed's response time has been considerably improved, and we are taking care of those people, and I wholeheartedly agreed with that, that were harmed. But to hire all these people, I had $5 million and 75 people. So I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but I don't think this is necessary. This is why we came up with the amendment.
Members, I'd oppose the amendment because, as I said last year in the bill, that a computer has no empathy. And that was before the computer screw-up. A computer has no empathy for somebody that loses a job. There are no, at least in my workforce center in Virginia, Minnesota, there is no one there that anybody that loses a job can talk to other than at the job training part, or, you know, I don't know what that actually, it's not, they're not even state employees. And the state is telling people to go in and have these employees that aren't even state employees do Deed's work. And I don't think that's right. I think in a workforce center, there should be at least one person. I don't care if it's in down in Fairmont or in International Falls or anywhere in between. There should be a live human being to help somebody that's gone through the traumatic experience of losing their job and not have to go to somebody that isn't even a state employee to ask for help. That's the responsibility of the Department of Employment and Economic Development. So I oppose the amendment. Any other questions? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail. Note the author did not vote for his money.
I did too.
I didn't do it.
Mr. Chair, that was a quick vote. Some of us weren't ready.
You were glaring at me. I knew
I was a glaring at you. That's my headache. The A5 amendment. I don't know whose this is.
Mine.
Representative Gunter.
This is my last one, Mr. Chairman. I hope I have the same results as I did my first one. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is an amendment that deals with the new language that's put in the bill that costs the UI system approximately $20 million in retroactive costs. And members, this is money that employers will have to pay and make up. And I want to remind everybody, in 2010, the UI system goes in arrears and automatically will get an interest-bearing loan from the federal government to cover us. And it's something that we have to pay special attention to because the costs are high. And we just got out of that situation from before. So by eliminating the severance pay, and members, this is money they get up front. This money they get severance pay because of the generosity of an employer. My fear is that eventually, if employers have to pay this twice, they aren't going to pay it the first time, and there won't be any severance pay. Secondly, this money will prolong the period of time that they will be getting a check. It's just a prolonged layoff. So you have to think about some of the people that suffered through the Northwest Airlines strike and got their benefits expired. And I think that severance pay and bonus pay, sick pay, and other payments paid are real dollars going to the laid-off employee. This comes after, the UI comes after these things are paid. So it makes the period with a 26-week layoff, UI period, this will make the period much longer. So that's why we have this. It's going to cost the system $20 million in retroactive costs, $11 million a year for the first year, $12 million, second year, etc. And your business people and your communities are the ones that are going to have to pay this. So I think that we should pay special attention, because I don't want those streetlights on the borders of our state to be bright red coming in and bright green going out. We need the number one thing, according to NPR and the Humphrey Institute, the people in Minnesota want are jobs. Let's don't put up any more barriers to creating those jobs than we are doing now. So I urge you to vote for this amendment.
Well, members, if you recall last year, I think I had started off with $25,000. Then I compromised at 10. And did the bill leave at 10 or 5? 10. 5. Now, last year, Mr. Nelson had left at 5, and we had an estimate that its cost would be about $7.8 million the first year and $5.2 thereafter. That's what you told us last year in committee. We wrote it down. But now, so I don't know where the $20 million is coming from. But members, let's just think about this for a minute, because until the mid-90s, we did not deduct severance pay. And I think there are a number of states, and my memory serves me right, 12 or 13, Mr. Nelson, that don't deduct. He's nodding his head, yes. So, you know, after the layoffs, especially at Ainsworth, when it came to light that some of them got severance and that the Ford Motor Company plant, you know, these people have fought, in a, whether in collective bargaining or whatever, for a severance package. And basically, then when they get laid off, they lose it all. And so it was a means of trying to reach a compromise, because I'm not going to say the $25,000 that some of the workers at Ford got, but at least let them have a little something for 25 or 20 years of service that they could save, especially since they negotiated this and probably gave up other benefits, Bob, in order to get their severance package. So that was my reasoning for it. Members, I'd appreciate a no vote on it, but go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I think if they got a severance package, they will get the money. It's not anything that this bill will prevent or enhance. If they have sick pay coming, they will get the sick pay. It will not stop any of that. Mr. Chairman, all it does is it makes those employers have to pay more up front, and it makes the period of time shorter that they will be getting benefits. And it's my opinion that we need not to have this. It's not a matter of fairness, it's a matter of what's right and what's wrong. Employers bear the brunt of many things we do here in St. Paul. And Mr. Chairman, I'd like a roll call on this vote.
Roll call has been requested. Clerk will take the roll. No.
Epstein.
No.
Why?
No.
Bryant. No. Clark.
No.
Jetson. Eastman. Gunther.
Yes.
Todd.
No.
Portman.
Mahoney.
No.
McFarland.
Yes.
Mole.
No.
Dornan.
Yes.
Dorsey.
Yes.
Hoppy.
No.
Motion does not prevail. 12 to 5. Any... A23 amendment. Let's pass it out and see who's claiming it.
Clear up the flagpole here.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A23. That's my amendment.
Representative Norton moves the A23 amendment.
North, do you say?
Excuse me, Representative Norton.
If she wants it, she can have it.
No.
I got my own.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, this amendment strikes two of the programs that are in this bill at the expense of the ACHIEVE program, and that's basically what it does. It transfers the $4 million back to the ACHIEVE program and does not fund the Power of You program and the Teachers of Color program. I have nothing against those two programs, but I believe that ACHIEVE, for one thing, is a statewide program and it's in its infancy. I hate to see anything happen to that program. The students are just getting involved in that. To take funding away from them at this time seems to be very unfair. The community has been supporting, the business community has been supporting at least the Power of You program and the Teachers of Color program too. I'm not positive on that one. And I think that could continue, and next year we can look at when we have the entire budget in front of us, maybe a way to do all of that. But right now, this amendment would simply keep the ACHIEVE program funded at a level I think that it needs. And, Mr. Chair, that's it.
Members, I don't think the amendment works because you're taking it out of a couple different funds, according to, but maybe it does. But in any event, members, it repeals the Power of You. It repeals the Teachers of Color. It saves somewhat the ACHIEVE dollars in ACHIEVE, which haven't been used yet. And we're asking Representative Nornes to, the governor's proposal was to cut the university $27 million and Minscu $25 million. This bill comes nowhere near doing that harm. And one of the ways we saved in the base in that was to stop a program, ACHIEVE, that hasn't been used yet. I mean, there has been some appropriations to some pre- higher ed programs at some different programs down here in the cities, I believe. Counselors in high school, things like that, they represent Poppy knows about. But it, you know...
Reminder...
Representative Norris, the governor started a program that hasn't been used yet, and for those of us that sat on the conference committee, and I don't see Representative McFarland, but Representative Welty and Representative Atkins, and basically the ACHIEVE program became a resume builder for somebody running for higher office. And I should be kinder, but I could have been a lot more blunt.
Mr. Chair.
I would hope we could vote it down because the money hasn't been used. And Representative Norris, we've got to find money somewhere. And if we go with the governor's proposal of $25 million and $27 million, there's no way the system's going to absorb it, and it's just going to be, the hit's going to be taken by the students, and I don't want that, so I hope members vote it down.
Just add one thing. I guess I have strong feelings about when we take a statewide program and we yank it away from at least the bulk of it and turn it into another metro program. I have a problem with that.
Representative Norris, it's a statewide program that hasn't been utilized yet.
Because that's just starting.
And it's a good one to eliminate right away because we need the money for it.
And we have to eliminate other programs that are new and haven't been used yet.
But the Power of You has been around, and so has the Teachers of Color, or the Nurses of Color, on the spreadsheet. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Yes.
All those opposed?
Yes.
No. No. Motion does not prevail.
This is a
The there's a this will be coming around. Representative Moe, I believe it's a drafting error, and you're offering it dealing with page 26 after line 23, insert.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this was, I believe, intended to be in the bill. Higher education has wanted to have the ability to put move money into Indian scholarship funds that they still had available. We presented that committee. I think everybody was in support. All this does is include it in our bill. It doesn't cost us anything. It just makes that money available that's currently not being used, diverts it into the Indian scholarship fund if the scholarships aren't claimed elsewhere.
Okay. Are there any questions on the amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Is this the A-12 amendment? And I don't know whose this is. Page 14, delete sections 20 to 22, and page 29, delete section 37.
Mr. Chair, that's mine.
Representative Nornick.
Yes. And I believe we had this discussion last year. This has to do with how members of the Board of Trustees from MSCU are chosen. And my amendment basically removes the section where four of the members are chosen by labor organizations, and it continues to be selected by the governor's office.
Well, we had this discussion last year, so no need to...
No need to go any further. But
all those in favor... I oppose the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail. Tim Norton moves the A-21 amendment. Representative Norton.
I didn't bring my boxing gloves today, Mr. Chair, but I am, folks in my community...
Ready to wrestle?
No, thank you. folks in my community are concerned about adding new programs in a time of budget cuts, and this particular component of the bill concerned me when I saw it, and that was, despite Representative Gunther and Mahoney's work, the addition of the $80,000 in the base for the Boxing Commission after we've been told 2 years running that we wouldn't see that request come forward again. So I had a little bill that this committee heard that I've lowered the amount of that request to $50,000. It was for Life Track in my community. We had a one-time funding last year for $50,000. We have, just in a short time, we've received that money, employed 50 legal immigrants, and have 14 people off MFIP. It is well worth the investment. And I was hoping Dee would find the money to do it within their own budget. That hasn't happened, and so I'm asking that, in the spirit of compromise, rather than raiding the entire Boxing Commission funds, that we lower the amount to $30,000 and instead invest $50,000 one-time funds in the Life Track grant.
Representative,
and I ask your support.
I don't have a glove in this fight.
Mr. Chairman, you're the one that assigned this job to me. I just want to remind you that.
Watch him run.
No, I'm not going to run. I think the Board of Boxing was eliminated, was repealed. We now have the Board of Combative Sports Commission, which includes seven fighting venues, not one. And they have many, many more fight cards. And their cost will increase tremendously. The governor is the one to put the $80,000 in there. I was very delighted that he did. I know the thing was doomed to fail the last year when we voted the thing in. I think now it has a chance. We reduced the cost per fighting card from $1,500 to less than that. That was over half of the net profit from each venue. And in order for the thing to have any chance at all, it needs the $80,000. In fact, I advocated for $110,000. Now, Rochester does have fighting cards in Rochester. I'm also a big supporter of Life Track. And I would prefer Life Track to be funded on its own. I certainly funded it when I was chairman as much as they needed to ask for. But to have this change today, I think, would be unfortunate because it would completely eliminate the possibility of any success for the Combative Sports Commission. And I think with that, I'm sure Representative Mahoney agrees with that because he was a co-chair of that subcommittee.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair and members and Representative Norton, I too have been a supporter of LifeTrack in the past. I won't try to take up a ton of time with the committee, but this is one of the fastest growing sports, and it is also one of the most dangerous sports. These are people fighting with hands, bare fists, feet, everything else. There's really, the rules are, I'll call them loose. I'm sure I'd get an argument with a few of the participants, but I want to make sure no one gets hurt in these sports, and generally there are fairly young men that are in these sports, and it's a lifetime of damage. I'm more than supportive of LifeTrack and will be next year in the next budget cycle and Rochester, but at this particular time, I would ask the committee members to vote this down.
Okay. We've got the 821 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Amendment is not adopted. Members, I don't see any more amendments. So is there anybody in the audience that wants to speak on the bill for or against? If not, then we have the to delete. House file. I'll renew my motion then that House file 3722 as amended several times. Oh, I think I moved the delete everything amendment. I already did at the beginning. Yes, and I moved the 8-4 and any other amendments that went on or didn't go on have been recorded. So at this time, then I will move that. House File 3722, the DE6 amendment, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to Representative Murphy, who just disappeared from the room. Representative Murphy's committee. Any other comments or questions from the members?
I have one.
Representative
Gonzalez. Mr. Chairman, as reading the bill the first time, it struck me that there are many things referring to your area of the state, and I just wanted to point out to the members. So all those little red deals have something to do with the range. And I feel like I owe apologies to the people in the I-90 area that I didn't do the same thing when I was chairman of this committee. I assure you, if I'm ever there again, we will do this.
Representative Godfrey, just let me say this quickly before.
I'm learning.
When you were chair of this committee, you should have taxed your corn and your you know, your wheat and your soybeans and that like we tax, and it's a local property tax. Unfortunately, it goes to an agency that's called a state agency that gets no general fund money, no state money. It's money that comes, that would go to my schools and cities normally, that gets shared from, as you can see in this bill, across Barrington to Cook County. So, you know, if you ever want, and I've been telling you farmers this for years, to set aside a quarter of a cent a bushel on this or that, I'm more than willing to help you out because you do deserve to have an economic development pot out there. And you should do it with your windmills. You have a production tax on it. Why don't you put some of it in economic development? I don't know what you guys do on there. Obviously, you know, you're just not as quick as us. So, but with that, any other questions on the bill? If not, we've got the motion in front of us. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye, opposed. Members, thank you so much. We may have a couple of meetings on the barber board. There's been some questions on that when things cool down a little bit. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you.